All right, everyone ready for me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do something different. Like, I'm up there all the time, but I think today, I think I need to be down here. And Manish told me, are you nervous? I said, no, why should I be? She said, yeah, you shouldn't be. She says, there's only 3 or 4 of us here today at church. But as it's grown, I think more of what the message is about is what's making me a little bit nervous, or I'm getting nervous. But glory to God. Glory be to God. I'm hoping I'm going to be speaking a little bit louder, and I hope this is loud enough, but hopefully I don't get too loud. But it's been a little kind of running everything, kind of getting things set up. And again, it's a one-man show in a sense, but not really, because I had Joe and Mimi with me. So not a one-man, it was three. So we had not a quartet, but a trio. Thank you. See, I'm nervous already. Anyway. Actually, I want to get started with a little prayer, because I want to ask the Lord's blessing. So please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you at this time to ask, dear Lord, that you be here with me, but you fill this house with your presence, Heavenly Father. That, Lord, Heavenly Father, that you give everyone here the openness to the understanding of your message today, because it's not my message, but yours. I am only the vessel in which I send this message to your people, Heavenly Father, and I just ask for your blessings and your anointings to be in today's service and with me at this time. I thank you in Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's get started. Let's open up. Let's read a little something. Genesis chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Let's look at that again. The question is, am I my brother's keeper? See, I want to share that in the way I've read it, I don't think you hear the sarcasm in it, or the anger, or the frustration in it. He says, let me put it this way. What, am I my brother's keeper? So the question is, have you ever thought, or put any thought, or ever thought about it, put any thought into this question? Am I my brother's keeper? I want you to think about that. Any thought? Am I my brother's keeper? So, Let me ask another question. So who is your brother or who is your sister? Better yet, let me rephrase it. Do you know who your brother is or do you know who your sister is? So who is your brother? So who is your sister? Let's look at John 1, 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave him the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were not born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Let's look at those questions. So, if we were not born of the blood, then how were we born? How does that make you my sister? How does that make you my brother? So, let's look at that. So, if you look around the room, let's take a look. If you look around the room, you can see, say, we're not born of blood because we all don't share the same father or the same mother, obviously, if we look around the room. So, that doesn't make us brother or sisters because of that, right? Not by blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. It doesn't say, okay, the lusts and the desires of your flesh didn't say, hey, we need Jesus. We need to get going over there. We need to follow Jesus. No, that's what my flesh is going to take me. No. Was it the will of the flesh? Is it the will of the flesh that makes us brother and sister? How about the will of man? The will of man. Did someone come up and says, you know what? From now on, you know what? You're going to be my brother because I want you to be my brother. Or you're going to be my sister. Well, wrong way to look at it, but my sister because you're my sister. So, does man tell you who your brother is? Does man tell you who your sister is? Sorry, I just asked in the same direction. But does man tell you? I think not. Because if we even look at it in man's way, it's like, did my mom and dad adopt you into the family? So that made you my sister? Made you my brother? Scripture doesn't say that. But what does it say? It says, there, let me read verse 13 again. It says, we were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. By the will of God is why we are brothers and sisters. It's by the will of God. Because we believed and we received. Because we believed and we received Him, which makes us His children. Because we believe and receive makes us His children. Let's look at another verse in Galatians 3:26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." For in verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." For all of you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Do we not have faith? Do you have faith? Were you not baptized into Christ? And after that, put on Christ. See, this leads me into the next question is that, now, how am I my brother's keeper? Think about it. How are you your brother's keeper? Or sister's keeper? How are you? How am I my brother's keeper? Let's look at what the word says in Galatians 6:2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing." This is, okay, no. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:11-14, I jumped ahead. So, "Therefore, comfort one another, and edify one another, just as you are also doing." Verse 14, "Now that we exhort you, brethren, those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient. Comfort each other and edify one another. Romans 12:10 says this: be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Again, the question is, how am I my brother's keeper? Galatians says that we bear one another's burden. In 1 Thessalonians, it says to comfort each other and edify one another. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Giving. Uphold the weak and be patient with all. Romans says to be kind, affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. I think that kind of answers the question. How am I my brother's keeper? Let's look at Jesus himself says it best. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. See, if Jesus is the Son of God, and we haven't been given the right to be children of God, then does that not make him also our brother? Think about it. If he is the Son of God, and we've been accepted and have been called the children of God, given the right to be the children of God, does it not make him our brother? See, but how does that infomercial go? But wait! There's more. There's more. I want you to understand that there's more. What if my brother or sister has wronged me? Or what if they said something that hurt my feelings? Or what if they mistreated me? What if this? What if that? What if? What if? What if? There's so many much more what ifs. But then, don't we have excuse for everything sometimes? Can't we not come up with our own reason? Well, I don't know, God. I don't know. I can make any excuse. I can come up with any reason. I can make up my own what ifs. Now, mind you, I'm speaking of your brethren. I'm speaking of your brethren. Here is what if. Here is a what if. Okay? Here is a what if I would like you to consider. Of all the excuses and all the what ifs you want to come up with, I come up with one for you. What if you tried this? Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. There's more to it. But what I want to point out is that whatever excuse that you want to come up because whatever they did, whatever they said, whatever you didn't like about what they did or done is not a reason or an excuse why I don't want to be their brother or sister anymore. And I think if you were to go and do this, use this as a what if I tried this, and you go to your brother or your sister alone and share with them, tell them their fault, and if they hear you, have you not gained back your brother or sister? Have you not gained back that relationship? See, I want you to understand this. This is our first priority. Jesus states, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, at the altar, you're bringing your gift, and then remember your brother has something against you. And it may not be that they have something against you. It's because you just don't want to do anything. You don't want to reconcile that with your brother. But Jesus says the priority first is that you go and leave your gift at the altar and reconcile with your brother or sister. Then come and offer your gift. See, we are all in one body. We are all in one family. And that is the family of God. What greater family to be in than the family of God? I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact that the body is not one member, but many. One Spirit, one body, but many members in that one body. We're going to talk about that. But many members in that one body. And I want us to go back in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look at verses 4 and 7. 4 through 7. And it says, there are many diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Many members in one body. Same Spirit, same Lord. The Spirit is still given to each one for the profit of all. Understand that. For the profit of all. We each, same Spirit, same Lord. See, in other words, what it's saying, we all do have the same, we all do not have the same gifts. We don't. But the same Spirit that gives us these gifts. However, sometimes we may or can offend others. Not intentionally, and if intentionally, then that's a whole new sermon. Okay? That's a whole new sermon. We each have a gift and a passion to express that gift or share that gift with others. And we may from time to time overshare, impeding on others' gifts and passions. Let me repeat that. Sometimes we overshare our gift, impeding on others' gifts and passions. So that's not conflict? Isn't that sometimes it happens, conflict? But does that mean you're no longer my brother? You're no longer my sister? Remember, we've been into one body. One body. One Spirit, one God. Conflict does happen. See, but let us stop and reflect that we are all working towards the same goal. And what's that goal? The goal is being a light for Jesus to the world and sharing the good news of His redemption and reconciliation. For it is the same Lord and the same God we serve. Many members, one body. So can you imagine if all the members served a different God? Would it be one body? It would not. It would not function. Same Lord, same God, one body, but many members. See, the focus and the goal is still the same. There's no variation. We all need to walk in the same direction. We need to keep moving in the same direction. Sharing the good news of redemption and reconciliation. For again, it is the same Lord, the same God we serve. What if they do it again? Hey, see how many more what ifs there is? We could continue on. What if they do it again? Ooh, you're not getting it. What if they do it again? 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 Peter, a disciple, an apostle, a follower of Jesus, asked a similar question in Matthew 18, 21 and 22. He says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" Huh. Now, if we want to get sarcastic and go back to, you know, where Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, if we want to look at Peter, I know Peter's made some mistakes and done some stuff. But then he goes, "Okay, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times?" Well, let's get the skeptics. Okay, seven times what? Seven, well, let me go on. Okay, so seven times. But wait, before I go on, okay, I'm jumping ahead. Jesus said to him, see, now Jesus says to Peter, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now the skeptics, I was jumping ahead because I really wanted to get into this. He said, okay, so, all right, well, if we figure what, seven times 70 is what, 490? Well, my brother's got 489 right now, and that means I only got one, Lord, left on him. I only got one. So he better save it, because after that, it's done and over with, and I'm done. But that's not the point that Jesus is saying. If you can forgive the brother 489 times, what's one more time? Or another 489 or 490 times more? That's not what Jesus was saying. But Peter asked it, because, hey, I know we've asked it. God, how many times? He's not getting it. He's just not getting it. Why does he keep doing it? Lord, why do I have to? Why do I have to? Because you do. Am I my brother's keeper? Remember, that's the question I want you to stay and keep in your mind. Am I my brother's keeper? I think we pointed out some areas that says that we are. But let's keep on going. It says, look, understand this. I want you to understand this. Forgiveness. I don't want to jump too ahead. And I'm jumping ahead. See, another way that we can look at this is found in Colossians. When it comes to how many times I have to forgive my brother, and Jesus says up to 70 times. Another way to look at it is in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. It says, therefore, as the elect of God. Again, let me say that. Therefore, the elect of God, because if you've been accepted, then you are elected. You have the right, but you're an elect of God. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, it says. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Okay. It says to have tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. But I want to point out the long-suffering. Does not Jesus himself put up with our mistakes? I'm going to talk about that a little bit further too. So it says long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Did Christ forgive you? Or did you come perfect already? And we're going to talk a little bit. Did Christ forgive you? Think about that. So when our brother's not perfect, forgive them. Let me go back. This is the first priority. First priority. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, then remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there at the altar and go your way. Because first reconcile to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So, this is where I want you to understand. I want you to understand this. See, forgiveness is not for the person that is in need of forgiveness, but it is more for you so that you may grow in love and mercy. Separating yourself from anger, resentment, and bitterness, for such as these hinder the fruits of the Spirit. Anger, bitterness, resentment. How are you going to grow? How are you going to share? How are you going to display the fruits of the Spirit if you continue to be angry towards your brother? And then how you've been your brother's keeper. My question to you is, are you perfect? Again, are you perfect? Are we perfect? Were we ever perfect? Because Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I think that kind of answers the question. Are you perfect? Are we perfect? Were we ever perfect? But I want you to understand this, though, too, as well. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been perfected, as the Word says. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He offered Himself only once. He doesn't need to offer Himself again. You just need to accept and receive. See, if we cannot forgive our brothers their faults or shortcomings, we become no better than Cain with his anger and with his sin lying at the door. But heed what the Lord says or tells Cain in the ending of verse 7 of Genesis 4. It says, in regards to sin, it says, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin's desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It's making that conscious choice and making that decision because you want to display, our whole focus is that we are there for each other. If we're not there for each other, then how better are we than Cain? Sin lied at his door. And what did he do to his brother? But God says that we need to overcome it. That we need to rule over sin, rule over it. As we look, Matthew 6:15, it says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How do you like them apples? I can't forgive my brother. Or I choose not to forgive my brother. But if we do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. See, Jesus commands us this. This is what Jesus commands us to do. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's John 13:34-35. A new commandment He gives us, that we love one another. as he has loved us. See, only by this display of our love for one another does it tell others that we are his disciples as we show love for one another. The answer to the question, am I my brother's keeper? There's no greater illustration than this. There's no greater illustration than Jesus' love of his brethren than this. But he was wounded. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53:5. If he is not our brother, then why would he keep us? Why would he go endure all of this? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. See, again, the question is, am I my brother's keeper? Jesus illustrates this in the best way. What did he do? Not only that, he also expresses in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that you lay down one's life for his friends. Or let's put it, for his brethren, for his brothers, for his sisters. If he then is willing to endure this, even unto death, for our sake, how light of a burden his request of us to be each other's keeper. Wow. How light of a burden his request of us to be each other's keeper. In closing, I want to reread the scripture reading for today in Romans 15:5-7. It says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ has also received us, to the glory of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and the glory be to God. I just want to share that for those who are keeping notes, I have four other verses that I didn't use, but I kept them so that I can just have you, so you can review them. And if any way with today's message that you can incorporate and maybe have another or different understanding, it's good for you to have to read, just to look at Romans 4:10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. And I'd like just to point that again. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Philippians 2:2-4. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So, keep that in mind. I hope you wrote those down and continue to pursue and think about the question, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? God bless you and thank you.